Good afternoon. If you can do me a favor and just everyone please stand for just a minute. Stretch those legs out a little bit. Okay, that's good enough. Now you can sit down. Just want to get some blood flowing just a little bit. People capture our attention all the time when they make outrageous claims. Muhammad Ali said, "I am the greatest." And now even with Parkinson's disease and hands still shaking, will raise his fist in the hand and say, "I am the greatest." John Lennon, the guitarist and some people would say theologian of the 60s and 70s, songwriter for the Beatles, made a statement, "We are more famous than Jesus." I doubt that on December 8, 1980, when he took his last breath after that he made that statement again. John Kennedy stated that we would put a man on the moon in July of 1969, whether you truly believe a man was put on the moon or you watch that Fox documentary that claimed that he wasn't. 1969, America watched Neil Armstrong do just that. Outrageous claims capture our attention. When we hear things, it makes our minds wander. Part of the reason is that we love to be fascinated with different things. The National Enquirer and Star Magazine, magazines that sell millions and millions of subscriptions a year, stating that the president, has given birth to an alien, or he is really from another country or another world or another solar system, or this person, all these different things, and people actually buy them. Now, I could see buying it for an area of just having some comic strips, but other than that, those things do. They capture our attention. Of all the outrageous claims that ever made, none compare to the claims that Christ makes. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine. Today we're going to be looking at a statement, "I am." In the midst of tension and in the midst of the Jews arguing with Christ, he makes a statement saying, "I am." Take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, you're probably there already. Let me set up the context a little bit here and what is taking place. The religious leaders, Jews, Pharisees, Sadducees, different groups of people are arguing with Jesus. Christ has a following of people, and they're beginning to follow him, and they don't like it because what he is saying is contrary to what they are saying. They're making statements about him. He is making statements about them. A little bit earlier in John 8, he has called them children of the devil. It's not one of those little sensitive phrases that just roll off the tip of your tongue. And so there's a tension that is created in this passage when we get to John chapter 8, verses 48 through 59. Christ has made some claims about who he is, as Terry and Chad have said. They do not want to accept it. And look in John chapter 8, verse 37. John chapter 8, verse 37. Christ makes a statement. "I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word." Now that's kind of setting it up. So it's not like two people are sitting down over lunch, sipping tea, eating crimpets, all those different things, talking like the queen. This is some serious tension that is taking place here. And John 8 is in the midst of this battle. And what I love about Christ is he really doesn't answer their questions in a way that they want him answered. And you'll see that. He answers their questions basically going after their heart. John chapter 8, verse 48 through 59. I want to read these with you, please. It says, "The Jews answered him," verse 48, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" I'm not possessed by a demon," Jesus said, "but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." At this, the Jews exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died and so did the prophets, yet you say that anyone who keeps your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him," think about that, "you don't know him." Christ says, "I know him." And this word here in the Greek is ginosko, and it's just not a, I know of the president, I know of George Washington, I know of this person. It is an intimacy here. It said, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. Here's the response. You are not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him. And you've seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. That's a statement right there. This is their response. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipped away from the temple grounds. Imagine being there in a conversation. Maybe you've been in conversations where two people are just on opposite planets, and there's a tension that is created. What I'd like to do is try to find the nearest gopher hole and throw myself into that as fast as I can. Because they are going at it a little bit, and even earlier it shows that there is some tension building up here. The religious leaders want to know, who are you, Christ? Where do you come from? What makes you be able to make these statements and claim these claims? You say that you're the light of the world. You say that you're the bread of life. Now you're saying before Abraham was, I am. Tell us a little bit more about who you are. And the heated debate goes on and on. And it's interesting. Look at verse 48 again. It says, the Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? If you wanted to get somebody's attention during that time, and you wanted to throw out probably the worst word that you could throw out, you would say, you're a Samaritan. It was a major insult. The Samaritans and the Jews had no love lost for each other. They hated themselves. They hated each other, each other's groups. And that's why the story of the Good Samaritan is such an incredible story. Because it is a Jew that comes along and helps them. The Samaritan helps the Jew. And it's an interesting story about the woman at the well, the Samaritan lady that goes out there. And they're always depicted as just meaningless people, according to the Jews. And so they're saying, you're a Samaritan. Or you're demon-possessed. I often thought, why would they make these statements? You know, as we get closer to election time, when the presidents start really competing against each other and talking, a lot of mudslinging goes around. And the religious leaders are just, you know, they're probably at wit's end saying, okay, I ask him this question, he answers that way. I don't know what to do. I answer this question, he answers that way. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to call him demon-possessed and a Samaritan. And maybe that will just get everyone to kind of come onto our side. And even in the midst of that, what does Christ do? He says, I'm not possessed by a demon. I honor my Father and you dishonor me. The response of Christ is this, I tell you the truth, if a man keeps my word, he will never taste death. He doesn't say anything about being a Samaritan. If you follow my word, I tell you the truth, if you keep my word, you will never taste death. And the response is this, are you greater than Abraham? He died and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Jesus, who do you think you are? And I don't think it's one of those things where they just went up and said, so you say you're greater than him. Who do you think you are? A little smile on the face. It's probably one of those things where, and maybe you've experienced before, and my parents used to say this, who do you think you are, young man? And I'm like, right now, I wish I was somebody else. Who do you think you are? And that's what they want to know. Christ, who are you? You make these statements. And a lot of people in our world have different ideas on who Jesus Christ is. We see him as the light of the world. We see him as the bread of life. We will see later that he is a resurrection and life. He is the true vine. But today, who would people say that Jesus Christ is? What I want you to do is to watch on these screens and just listen to some of the responses of these people as to who is Jesus Christ.
Who do you say Jesus was?
I have no idea.
Who was Jesus?
Gosh, I have to start with, I'm not sure.
Who was Jesus to you?
Some guy.
Actually, I don't believe in Jesus.
I'm not really sure exactly who Jesus was.
I think Jesus was a was kind of a cool guy back in his day.
Who was Jesus to you?
I think I'm done.
I don't like to talk about it. I'm a spiritual person, but I'm not religious.
Who do you think Jesus was or is?
Jesus was a historical figure.
I believe that Jesus Christ was a man who had an extraordinary ability to link in with the Creator.
I think he was definitely someone that people, you know, a good role model.
I do think he had a lot of great ideas.
More or less, he was just a prophet, which is just a messenger of God.
Sort of a revolutionary in his day.
Jesus was an amazing man.
I don't believe he's God's son. I just believe he's a person.
As to his, like, godlike quality, I'm not totally sold on that.
You think he was a prophet?
I'd have to be Christian to really believe that.
Jesus was the Messiah for some people, and for some people he wasn't.
I'm not necessarily sure if Jesus was the Messiah or a prophet, but in either case, he was somebody that spoke the word of God.
He was equal portions of human and that energy that is God.
People said he was sent by God. Well, no one, God doesn't send him down. You don't go on up. I mean, he linked in.
I mean, I do believe in Jesus in the sense of, like, yeah, I believe in Jesus. And I'm not saying that he didn't exist or anything of the sort, but the fact that, I mean, I necessarily don't go and pray to Jesus.
Who was Jesus?
Jesus is the Son of God.
Jesus was the Son of God.
I believe Jesus is the Son of God who came to save us all from our sins.
Jesus was a Savior.
Who died for our sins and cleaned us, made us pure enough to enter God's glory.
The only way you can get to heaven.
Who do you think Jesus is?
Who do I think he is?
I don't think he's who he was. I think he still is Jesus, so he's not gone or anything, you know. I guess embodied technically he is, but he's still here.
The Jesus story sort of borders on history and myth for me. But I don't believe that it could have permeated our culture so fully and for so long if there was nothing to that.
And we wonder why maybe the religious leaders were somewhat confused. Interesting answers. At the very end, it borders on myth and history. But yet, how can one person impact such a generation like Christ did? And so the religious leaders are asking the question, who are you? And this is where it brings the climax of the text in verse 58. Christ answers them, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, remember they're focusing on Abraham, I am. Before Abraham was born, I am. Now to the Jews at that time, that statement rings very clear in their ears, the term I am, even as Terry mentioned it, when he said, I am the light of this world. They understood. They understood to an extent what that means. And Christ is making a statement here, I am, period. He doesn't follow the light of the world, bread of life, resurrection, anything like that. He leaves it right there. What does Christ do? He goes back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And if you remember the story of Moses in the burning bush, Moses flees Egypt and he is out being a shepherd. The Lord comes to him and he says, listen, I want you to go back to Egypt. I want you to tell my people you're leaving. We're getting you out of there. Moses is going, wait a minute, what do I say to them? Who is my leader? Kind of help me out here, Lord. Verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am sent me to you. By Christ making the statement before Abraham was born, I am. He is saying, I am God. Exclamation point, just like that. You want to know who I am? You want to put me in this courthouse and you want me to answer this question to you? I am, meaning this. I'm a self-existent God. I am God. And the Jews knew, and you see in just a moment what their response is. It isn't, oh, well, thank you. We appreciate your time. Have a wonderful day and go. In John chapter 18, verses 4 through 6, Christ makes this statement again. In the garden, he is being arrested. In verse 4 of John chapter 18, Jesus, knowing all that was going on, what was going to happen to him, went out and asked them. This is the guards are coming to arrest him. And it's interesting, Jesus goes out and asks. Not the disciples, it's Christ. And he asks this question, who is it you want? Christ knows who they want. Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. I am he, Jesus said, and Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, I am he, they drew back and they fell to the ground. It was those words, I am he. And it was the power of those words, I am he, that threw those soldiers back on the ground. And again, they asked again, who are you here for? Jesus said, I am. Why Christ doesn't fall, why the people, the Jews, don't fall here, maybe the statement in John chapter 18, he's like, listen, this is the ultimate time of my life. This is what I've come for. By him making that statement, the soldiers fell down. It was the power of those words. And they didn't like that response. A carpenter's son, the son of Mary, is saying to the Jews and the religious leaders, I am God. That's blasphemy. And often people would be taken outside the city and stoned. Look at their response. At this is immediate. It wasn't one of those things where let's pull a committee together and figure out what to do. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. How does that happen? Imagine that I get up here and I make a statement and you have every right to pick up a stone or a hymnal. And you can come and you can hymnal me to death. It's like, here they come. And I just happen to slip out. Where'd he go? Well, we know that Christ wasn't going to die by being stoned to death. And his time had not yet come. But Christ is in the midst of this argument. And I can imagine that he's standing here just by himself. And there they are. What does he do? He slips out and he gets away from them. Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, different religions, different religious sects have never claimed to say that I am God. It is only Christ. Christ's claim was provocative in that day and even to this day, as you have seen on the screen. So how do you respond to this? Well, you can look at the story as something just like legendary. It's a story. It's fiction. It's made up. You can look at the life of Christ and say that, well, maybe he was a lunatic. He just really didn't have it all together. You can look at the Christ and say, maybe he was a liar. Or you can look at this and say, Jesus was speaking the truth. But by his claims, Christ demands a verdict by him stating that he is God. You either reject him or you worship him. And as I've been studying through this passage, I am, you know what it does to me? It encourages my heart to know that, you know, my Savior, in the midst of a difficult time, stood up and said, I am. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are the great I am. It just reminds us, God, who we are. Thank you for these statements today and the statements that were made thousands of years ago, but the statements that we can live with today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.